So we're talking about forgiveness as a way of life, and we kind of segmented this down into three different parts to forgiveness. The first one being the love aspect, and the second one being staying offense-free, and the third one being staying ahead or clear of judging. So we want to turn to John 13, and we're going to pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. Father, we know that you want us to walk in constant forgiveness toward one another, especially in our own household of faith. And Father, so we just want to understand this. We want to walk in love with each other so that the world can see who you are, because you are love, and that, Father, they will desire to come into that. So give us some revelation here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus is telling them, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Amplified, of course. So the most identifying thing that people see in us to locate us is that love. And we'll see that in 1 John when we go over there. So we're supposed to be treating each other so well, and not a put-on job, but that love exuding out of us, that the world looks at that and says, I want a piece of that. I want that. So can we do that? Can we live like that? God's teaching us how to love and to forgive. I think what happens is our pride, our hurts get in the way of that forgiveness, and then actually we bind ourselves up. So love, we know, prefers one another, does no harm. Where does this sound like it's coming from? Covers. Yeah. Covers, takes care of, edifies, and also rejoices with others. So when someone, God's done something great for somebody, you should be able to rejoice with them, not go, everything good always happens to everybody else. I never get anything, you know. That's not exactly a love attitude. So we are the family of God, and he died for us so that we didn't have to. So we know that God is love, and love has everything to do with forgiveness here. So go to 1 John 4, 7 and 8, like the song says. The song. Song, not psalms. First John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. You might be a little too young.
I never heard that one.
Oh dear, I'm not that dated.
Could have just been in a different song.
True. Okay, 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is and springs from God, and he who loves his fellow men is begotten and born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not, never did know him, for God is love. You can know scriptures, you can know about God, and still not know God, and still not know that love. So you can be very religious. We know the Pharisees were, and still not walk in that love. So a lot of times, you know, you hear somebody that can quote scripture, but if they don't have that relationship and know God, they're very likely not walking in the love, because God is love, and that's how we tap into that. So if we let that love dominate our thoughts, our actions, our words, all of that, our decisions, then the love that God is going to shine out of us, which is going to show everyone around us, and therefore they will see God, because they're seeing him through us, through our love, if we let that love dominate our life. So this love is not the same as loving pizza. We use the word love quite frequently, and hate. We use the word hate very frequently. And in reality, love is a decision. And I think you guys know that. God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave the most precious thing to him. So that chief demonstrated. Good evening. So we're in forgiveness, and we're in 1 John.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to stay away from people
that
going on in the world.
Oh, just
we're
make sure.
Just out of love.
Out of love. Just make sure. Yeah, the sign in on the and I have here an outline. For you
don't have a sit. Oh, thank you. No, I am going to sit closer. I can't do that.
I'm like, wow. I feel like I'm in a great estate hall or something. Okay. So what a lot of people call love is fickle. And it can be love, 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 and then all of a sudden hate. And that usually comes out as a result of being hurt. Someone hurts the other person. They get angry at the other person. God, right, it's very conditional. Mm-hmm. And that is not the love that God has. God's love is eternal. So we want to go to 1 John 4:16 this time. Where the 1 John's full, I know Jeffrey probably knows this by his recent experience. It's full of the love of God. So in 1 John 4:16, it says, and we know, we understand, we recognize, we're conscious of, by observation and by experience. So it's by experience and believe the love that God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. So in verse... that's all we wanted to read there. Then we want to hit over to Ephesians 4. We're going to tie them together there. So Ephesians 4:31 and 32. So this passage is describing a part of this love, but he first starts out with what should not be in us, what should not be markers, because it's not love. And then he goes into what is. And so let's look in verse 31. He says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper and resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you. With all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. So God was very free with his forgiveness. We need to be too, not put a condition on, well, I'll forgive you if, you know. Or sometimes we wait because we think they're not worthy of our forgiveness, because they're not even sorry for what they did. That has nothing to do with you forgiving them. So we need to keep that in mind.
Since I have such a fresh memory of the two segments on divorce and marriage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you just
because I just listened to them today. that was the crux of that too, because you know being equally yoked has a lot to do with. And one of the principles there is that we do everything we can to build that other person up.
Right.
And there's no room for malice.
Right.
And so in order to...
just give the paper.
What did he say? What's he have there?
That's where we were before.
Oh, that's where we were before?
Where we started.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just thought that was really neat because this goes right with it.
Well, it kind of... Each semester kind of builds, and so a lot of times within the semester there are things that pair up together. Like we have a lot of the prayer, different kinds of prayer in this semester, And the first semester was like foundational stuff like that you would need to know. So it's a very much on purpose, but it's kind of neat when the Holy Spirit is working in you there. So
thank you, Jeffrey.
People on a regular basis do something. They take their frustrations out on not the person that's frustrating them. If they were at work and somebody ticked them off, they can't really yell at their boss or their coworker. So what they do is they come home and they're very short with the people they live with. And they're like, what's wrong with you? You know, what did I do for that? And so that is not the love of God. And there's only one way.
Good thing they're not taking out their frustration on the people they're frustrated with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not acceptable.
not at all. They aren't dealing with it.
Right. So what do we do with that? Clearly, if it's your boss and you're not able to go to them.
He had a good point.
What?
Customers are even worse.
It's true. You can't really, you have to bite your tongue.
Like a boss, you have a relationship, you could eventually work something out.
Sometimes, yeah.
It's like a one-shot deal.
Yeah. I had a girl that I used to work under when I worked at the one place, and she was like a shift manager. And she had it out for me because I didn't work Sundays. Because I said to the owner, who was a Christian, I said, listen, we pastor a church. I cannot work on Sundays. I just, you know, maybe a rare Sunday in the afternoon if you're really pushed for it, but I'd prefer not to. Mm-hmm. He was fine with that, but I'm the only one that got that ability to not work on Sundays. So she hated that because she wanted a Sunday off. And so she gave me all the jobs nobody else wanted. So I just determined that I was going to do it to the best of my ability and just treat her with love. And within 2 or 3 weeks, she quit the job. And the irony is, I got her job. And I was like, wow, God, you know, I wasn't looking for that. But I think sometimes there are tests that come, and they're not comfortable all the time because you have to walk in love. And you can decide, you know, oh, this person has it in for me, and then go tell everyone at work, oh, this person has it in for me about how bad they are. Or you can, you know.
I always ask God to bless them with another job that's even better somewhere else.
I wasn't even going that way, and she just. Boom.
I was like, you know what? I mean, I know he can still work on me, but I can still pray that for someone, because what's wrong with that? You're
still
wishing good on them. And
yeah. Yep. Well, people get mad, hurt, and bitter, and take it out. We see road rage all the time. You know, you see people.
Cleaning rage. Tonight.
Cleaning rage?
We were cleaning an office in Everett, and I said to the guys, I looked online, and I said, the Supreme Court decided that it was not going to take the case on the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania because they waited too long to present it. That's the only argument they gave. Boy, he got mad, and that vacuum went whipping.
That's the cleaning rage. I've heard of people.
Dude.
Which Supreme Court were we talking about?
Ours. The United States.
Oh, yeah.
Later, but the whole point was then he took it out there just like how people do when they're driving.
Right.
Yeah, the PA Supreme Court is high.
My sister, you did not want to get in the car with her if she'd had anything that happened that she interpreted it as, like, she liked this one guy we went to church with when we were teenagers. And usually they were on very good footing, but if she thought he talked to another girl or whatever, she was the only one that drove at the time, because I was 16, but I wasn't keen on getting my driver's license to drive in Philadelphia. So she drove, and I was like, let me out of the car. Because she would just push that pedal down. And I'm like, I'm in the car. You drive right. So what's a way to fix that then?
Well, you really got to talk to God, to be honest. That's like the biggest, because First of all, he's going to listen to you, and I know he will, because he listened to all the prophets when they did their venting. And then once you have it emptied out,
called them on it.
Once you have it emptied out, God can fill you up with the good stuff then. But he's big, he can handle it, and you take it to him and no one else.
Right, no one else.
And then you pray about it and let him work on you with it.
Right, and but keep in mind too, watch your own brain, because your mind has a tendency to rehearse.
Yeah.
Things that have happened that, and because you're almost like trying to justify why you feel the way you do. Yeah. Well, there's an indicator right there that you're trying to justify the way that you feel.
And if you have to bring it back to the Word of God, where, you know, he says, how many times should I forgive my brother?
Yeah.
Is it seven times? No, it's seven times seven.
Blew them out.
70 times seven.
Yeah.
So yeah, I yeah.
I think that's a pretty good indication just to learn how to do it and get it over with. Because how many people actually get angry enough they want to sit there and forgive someone and count literally how many times until they hit the 490? So the 490.
In one day.
Yeah. So I think that's God's way of saying just learn how to forgive. Just
right.
For them to hit 490, you probably did some provocation in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
My daughter said last week, now she's 35 now. And and I had no idea this, but she goes, yeah, Mom always made us hug her after she disciplined us. Who wants to do that? Because she's still holding, you know, she's still, you know, she was 12 or 13 or whatever. And she goes, I cannot believe that you wanted us to hug. I'm like, yeah, I still love you. Just because you disciplined someone doesn't mean...
You might not be ready for that hug for a day or two. Like, it only works out good if it's both sides, because if not, if you hug someone and they're not past it, you can cause more harm.
You can, but my whole point, and my sister was really good at this, is she kept short accounts. I knew if I talked to her on the phone and she felt like she had maligned someone on the phone, like she would talk and she would be venting. And I knew when the phone rang 5 minutes later after I hung up, it was her, and she would be saying, I am so sorry, I should not have said that about, but I loved that about her, because she didn't want to keep that. She didn't want to, she didn't do it regularly, you know, she didn't talk about people regularly, but when she did, and it was usually when she's to the point of frustration, that's when she would, you know, call and say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, please forgive me. And I love that short accounts thing. So if you can, here's the thing, if you can walk in love with those that you live with, you can probably pretty much get along with anybody, because it's more of a challenge. And you love those people, but you also live with those people, and you're not necessarily all the same. I mean, even after years and years, you don't do things exactly the same. So there are times when you put the toilet paper on the wrong way or whatever. Is that a big thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
We never cared, and we met someone when we first married, but it mattered to him, so we always do it.
Oh.
Over top now, because it bothered him, so it's just what we did.
Yep. Yes, Jeffrey.
Definitely an ouch verse to bring up in this context, but 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen.
Truth.
So many.
When you hold on to unforgiveness, and a lot of people, you know, they think, well, what difference does it make? Especially if here's a question. Can you be in unforgiveness and the other person not even know that you're holding something?
Well, yeah. Unforgiveness technically hurts you the most out of anybody, because it releases negative chemicals in your body, which can cause all kinds of other maladies in your own body. So when God's telling you to do that, it's even for your own good.
Well, and Jesus said, if you can't forgive, then I can't forgive you.
Yeah.
So it's like holding a debt against someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go that route. There are some people that you may have loaned money to that you're never going to see that again. So you can either write it off and say, I give that to them in your head. You know, I give that... give that to them freely, or you can stew about it for 20 years and then hold that in your heart every time you see them and stew about it, and then eventually what's in here is going to erupt, and should the conversation turn to something that might stimulate that, you could erupt, and that could come. And that person might not have no idea that you're even holding anything against them. They may even just have forgotten it, or maybe they just aren't good at paying their bills back. But you are the one. God judges our hearts for us.
You see sometimes in fiction, someone holds something against someone, makes their whole purpose about getting revenge on them for like decades, finally meets them, and the other person doesn't even remember it.
Right. Because that's just
for
something.
Me, it was Wednesday.
That's just them. In our courts, we seek compensation because we feel we've been wronged.
Yeah.
I saw a little video on, it wasn't Flashpoint, but it was Victory. This morning they showed, I don't know if you all saw, there was a little short, maybe a minute long. This lady in California has a restaurant, and she went to all the trouble of putting outside seating with the tables spaced apart, and they still told her she was not allowed. And she said she was crying. She was. She had a mask on. She's trying to be, you know, not complacent. She's trying to compliant. Yeah. And so she goes, look at this. And she took her camera, and 50 feet from where her outside seating was that she wasn't allowed to use, here's all these tents set up for a movie set that they were doing. And
I
they were
going.
And she's put it on Facebook and everything else because she goes, this is wrong. I'm going to go out of business here because I am not, it's not fair. It's a double standard. And why should they be able to 50 feet from
because the movie producer was in the governor's
pocket?
Yeah. Anyway, good grief. Anyway.
So the debt that we were forgiven was unpayable. When Adam sinned, yeah, we did the sacrifices of the animals every year, but Jesus had to come and take care of that. So there's no way we could ever repay God back for that, because that was his only begotten son that he sent to take care of this bill.
It's a good thing he doesn't consider it a debt.
True. So God gave us salvation as a gift. A person who cannot forgive just doesn't have it in them. And we've all heard the stories about families who they haven't spoken to one another for 20, 25 years. They may not even remember what it was that started the fight, that started the split. But now, 20, 25 years later, they are not, that family is splintered. Well, someone that can't forgive is apparently forgetting that they were, that what extent God went to forgive us. And they don't have a grasp on that. So it takes an effort to stay free of offense. It's not like we're in a bubble. I mean, we are supposed to be dead to stuff like that because we're supposed to be dead men walking. But we're not in that bubble. And what happens is somebody will say something and we just take it the wrong way, or maybe they even meant it the wrong way. There's that too. Because we have mean people out there that just say things to push your buttons. And you have the choice to stay in offense or to let it go. Or believe the best is what the Bible says. Believe the best. So sometimes our hearts are in a condition that we can handle that, and we say, you know what, it's not worth it, let it go. And sometimes our hearts are not in a position for that, and that's usually if we're not built up in the Lord, then we can flesh out. And that really is what that is. So some offenses are more challenging. They are totally unprovoked, at least in our own eyes. They are totally unprovoked, and they come out seemingly out of nowhere. You may go to work one day, and this person's all out of sorts for whatever reason, and everything you do is wrong. And so you have a choice at that point in time, or maybe your spouse, you know. Sometimes you might want to tell them to go back to bed and get on out on the other side of the bed. But that probably wouldn't help.
This sounds like you're describing Trump derangement syndrome, too.
Well, hey, that's a big offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a friend, very liberal, down in the Philadelphia area, that is very much offended at Trump, very much. I mean, you see it in everything that she posts. Mm-hmm. And then once Biden was proclaimed the president-elect, she just kind of went silent for a while, for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden, she must have got rattled because she came back with another one. Yeah.
He brought up Trump derangement syndrome. Two words and three letters. Nancy Pelosi, CNN.
Three words.
And that's what we're seeing
now. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, just to get it off track for that, that's what we're seeing now is a resurgence of this Trump derangement because they see the truth coming at them.
And you would think that if they saw the truth, and it is truth, that they would want to embrace for the sake of our country.
But truth can be offensive too.
It can. Oh, it can.
Well, truth is very offensive.
Did you not read the first chapter of John? Light came into the world and the darkness hated it.
Well, but see, but then we're also, and you're going to be talking about intercession in the second session.
Amen.
When you've been interceding for, like my friend, I've been interceding for her because I have had a relationship with her, and I don't believe that God puts people in on your path for no reason, and I believe that I was there to make an impact, and so I don't want her to stay in deception and darkness. I want her to see light, and that's my prayer. Anyway, Matthew 5:44, we're going to go over to...
Just so I remember, when we get to... our lesson about intercession, we really have that challenge right now as the body, as the ecclesia, as the called out body of believers, to do more than even what we've been doing, because we've kept ourselves in this position, which, you know, you talked a lot about position quite a few weeks ago, in one of your meditations for the offering, and that was significant, I thought, because to me we have to be in a position all of the time in order to avail, you know, so that God can use us in the way that He chooses, and I see it coming here very soon that we're going to be called on again, but in an even more significant way, because God's called on us to stand up and participate with the Lord of Heaven's armies, and to stand in the gap and to turn back the evil that is this election fraud, for one. But then when we have this opportunity now, it's going to be, we really must be out among people, one-on-one, whatever it takes, go to places, talk to people, and just share the gospel in a way that, frankly, in their subconscious mind or wherever it's coming from, they know that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world really needs a good dose of the gospel.
In other
right
words,
now.
Be the church.
Yeah.
That we should have been being all the
time. Yeah.
All
mm-hmm.
Yes. So in Matthew 5:44, you know, to stay free of offense, Paul compares that to exercise, and you can, I'll just give you the scripture. We're not going to go there right now. Acts 24:16. Sometimes people offend us, and it's hard to forgive. It's like you know that you did nothing to merit, but look at Jesus, who ended up on the cross, and he did nothing to merit that, but he took it on purpose, you know, for us. So we want to go to Matthew 5:44, and it says, "But I tell you," this is Jesus talking, because he says in 43, "You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But he's going one step further, and he said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So who is our enemy?
Anybody not in right standing with God.
Those who claim they're in right standing but aren't.
Are they our enemies, or are they...
Okay, I would back up my statement, because you look at the Pharisees. The people who claim to be in right standing with God but are not typically will go after the people who are genuine.
Right. I'm talking, I guess, by the... in the coloring of forgiveness, because it says here that you should love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Sometimes they don't know they're your enemy.
Okay.
And vice versa. Because they can feel they're your enemy, and you, if you're walking around in love and you're just, you've got your, you know, your buds in, and you're just oblivious because you're walking in love, you know, and things go whoosh sometimes. But on the other side of it, you know, do they even realize that you have this venom, and we shouldn't have the venom towards them? And like, which one of you said that didn't even know there was anything wrong? Yeah, because a lot of times it's all on our part. It's like we are taking the offense, and they have no idea that you are even holding anything. So we need to not do this in the strength of our soul, because our soul remembers our mind, will, and emotions. That is what the Holy Spirit is in us
Pastor
for.
Pastor Lynn, what was that passage, Matthew?
Matthew 5:44.
Mm-hmm.
And 43, I read 43 as well.
Okay.
So we have to recognize if we do get hurt by someone, we have to recognize that we're hurt and go to the Holy Spirit, who is the healer of the brokenhearted, the healer. He wants to mend. And that's what he does. And so we go to him for healing. And we're to pray for those who use and persecute you. If you're praying for them, it's really hard to hate them. Because you're praying for them. Go to 1 Peter 4:8. It says, "Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins and forgives and disregards the offenses of others." What does that mean?
Love. It means that when you love them the way that God loves us, when they do something, yeah, it might have been wrong, but you don't hold things against them then.
Those little pricks, those little, we call them daggers when they go into us, but those little things, you know, it says here, have intense and unfailing love for one another. Love covers a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times, and God really helped me to see, if I look at it from their side and the way they're looking at it, and with the way they're looking at things and understand them. I think he did that for me. One time I was having an issue with, this has been 30 years ago, I was having an issue. I very rarely have an issue with someone, but this time I did. And I was like, man, because I'm not the one that people think is the enemy. You know, we had a pastor in New York that everyone loved him, mm-hmm. but his wife was the one that people had contention with. And she was, this is just the way she was. I mean, mm-hmm. she was black and white, and he was very loving and, you know, the big teddy bear. Well, somebody had to be the black and white, and so she was. And
that sticks out like a sore thumb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's not that she didn't love, but it's just who she was. And I think we need to embrace, first of all, the different traits that each one of our brothers and sisters have. But then, second of all, there's going to be things that just grate on you because of your own personality. And so are you going to allow that to get in the way of a relationship with that person, or you try to stay away from them as much as possible and exit the room as soon as they come in? Because that's running away, and that's not what God does. So it's easy to love those who don't do us any wrong and are only blessing us, and you know, it's easy to love those people. The challenge is when the person doesn't really, they're constantly constantly questioning and constantly like they're pushing your buttons. If you can love with God's love in those instances, that shows you're mature in the things of God. Because especially because sometimes we truly are the victim. Because it might be that they're having a bad day, so they picked on you. But here's the thing, we can be the victim, or we can walk in victory and stay in love. And we don't want to be the victim. So exercise our faith in that. We don't want to be thin-skinned. Because when you're thin-skinned, every little thing you take a wrong way. Yes?
I thought of this earlier, and you kind of danced around without actually quoting it, but Jesus at one point said, if you love those who love you, what more are you doing than the tax collectors?
Yeah, because that's easy. I mean, that's easy. It's easy to love people that love you and aren't pushing the buttons. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to love each other. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about judging. We have a few minutes left for our third topic here under forgiveness. And I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. But concerning brotherly love for all other Christians, you have no need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been personally taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you already are extending and displaying your love to all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we beseech and earnestly exhort you, brethren, that you excel in this matter more and more. In other words, you have attained a level, a good level, but continue to grow in this. You know, none of us have arrived. To make it your ambition and definitely endeavor to live quietly and peacefully, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we charged you. So we're supposed to love. Like I said, if the person's stinky, not smell, but if they're just stinky attitude or even abusive, I mean, you don't let a person be abusive to you, but you still have to love that person. Something in there, they need Jesus. And so we want to address that. Self-condemnation does not work, because how many times have you gone, man, I can't believe I went off the deep end again, and I got into a fence, and I said something. Self-condemnation doesn't fix it. It makes you feel bad, but even feeling bad isn't repentance unless you change something. So what's going to help us love them more? You can weep over your shortcomings and still not repent. So we want to do the word, and when we have made it our quest to do what we find in this word, and involve the Holy Spirit, because what's the definition of the Holy Spirit? What are his names?
Comforter.
And?
Counselor.
Guide. Yeah, he guides us, he leads us, and he will bring all things back to our remembrance, including the scriptures on love. When you're in the middle of wanting to just tell that person off. And so, Luke 6, verse 27. Okay. It says, "But I say to you who are listening now to me, in order to heed and make it a practice to love your enemies, treat well, do good to, act nobly towards those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. Invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessing and favor upon those who abuse you, who revile, reproach, disparage, and high-handedly misuse you." What does that mean?
The people who are horrible to you.
And that last bit is, and taking advantage of you.
Taking advantage of you.
Yeah, pushing it. And then you're like, what am I? Have you heard people say, "I'm not going to lay down like a rug," you know, have somebody wipe their feet on me. Because anytime that someone feels like they're being taken advantage on, that's what the world says. Well, you shouldn't let them do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, you don't want people to abuse you physically or even mentally or verbally, but you can still love them and pray for them. Like it says here, invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of that person.
I was taking notes while you started there. Could you give me that one again?
Luke 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Luke 6:27.
And
28. And 28.
I like it because a lot of the things that he tells you to do, you can forgive from afar. And you can pray and love from afar.
Yeah.
Because there are some situations that you are just not to go back into, and the Holy Spirit can guide you in that.
Right.
And
right.
Another thing, going back to the political situation right now, it can feel very clear that there are lines in the sand, so to speak, politically right now in this country. And you have enemies, people who you justly could consider enemies. In politics, in high positions of power that you would never have an opportunity to meet, but you can still treat them properly from a distance.
Right.
Without them even knowing you exist.
Right. And knowing, and that's the thing. You can count a person as on the other side, and they don't even know you. They don't even know you. But like we heard,
that's really advantageous for us because, like you said, Jeffrey. What was that on? When
Brian
spoke Brian the other day
about Nancy
Pelosi, about Nancy Pelosi's office. I'm sure they didn't miss praying for Nancy Pelosi while they were in her office.
Well, and we have been praying for her because she's the bad woman.
She so needs God.
Exactly.
So why not?
Every person needs God, and they will have that opportunity. Now God knows whether or not they're going to accept him, but we can still pray.
And she's getting a little closer to the finish line, so she needs more prayer.
Yeah,
well, and that means I've got some growing to do.
Well, when you see, and here's the thing, you're offended for your country. Isn't that really what happens?
It really is.
We get offended for our country, and why are these people acting like this?
Right.
She's a puppet of the enemy, and if you can look at her that way, you can have pity for her in a way you normally
And that is really the advantage that we have over our enemy, the devil, is because then we can intercede for people far and wide who really are just people.
Right. And that's really what we're talking about, judging, because we don't really know the whole. We know what we're seeing them do.
Right.
We're seeing that outcrop of the what they have done.
Yes.
But God sees that heart and how close that heart is to needing. We don't know what goes on in the dark there.
And he knows the next step that he's going to take that person in. And, and sometimes our intercession is the catalyst.
Yep.
That drives that step.
Yeah.
If you think about it, people like her provoke us to good. Because if not, we would sit on our hands.
Truth.
Be lazy about things. So that actually.
Well, Pastor Pat's message I was listening to coming over here was the Sunday after the election. I guess it was. I can't remember which one it was because I didn't see the date. It was in the player, but
yeah.
You know, he said, God is provoking us to do what we should have been doing a long time
yes.
ago.
Yes. Yeah.
And provoking is an interesting word, because I believe in the lesson about marriage, we are based on Scripture. The Scripture tells us to provoke one another to good works. And, you know, really? You want to provoke somebody? Yep, to good works.
Go ahead.
I have a big question here, though, on the topic of forgiveness, because I'll probably bring this up on intercession.
Mm-hmm.
But we're reading through Jeremiah together, my mom and I'm reading through Ezekiel on my own. In both of them, God and the prophets don't always show favorable opinions towards the people who are mistreating God's people.
Right.
For example, the priests who in the temple were worshiping false idols, which is redundant, but... Would they still be required to forgive those people?
Here's the thing. God doesn't look at people favorably when they mistreat his people. So therefore, out of his prophets' mouths comes the word of God. And here's another thing. He'll probably touch on this in the intercession, but we need to involve the Spirit of God. Because if we try and do things in our own flesh and try to understand and try to love, you know, we look at things a lot of times and go, they're not worthy of my love. They're not worthy of my intercession even for them, because look what they've done. Look what they've done. And we're back to judging again. So we need to follow the love, but there are times, Jeff, that that there is no, that person it has shown themselves to be a reprobate. And God will take care of it, though. God will take care of that.
And I see what you're saying, too, because even in the prophecies that are coming out now, there is, like, some legislation, Democrat and Republicans, in different offices that God is going to judge.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to seem like it is not lovingly. But if you look in the Bible, many times he said, enough. Like, he's
yep.
given them so many chances and opportunities to repent. And he just said, that's it. But he is the one who gets to do that.
Yeah.
To look at a New Testament example, Paul did address the church to judge one individual who was sleeping with his father's wife. How does that relate to forgiveness now?
Well, but what did he say? Turn them over to Satan for what?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, he said to save in the end. In the end. I'm paraphrasing here. But in the end, that his soul might be saved. So there might have been some uncomfortableness where the guy was not supposed to be a part of their gathering and stuff, but it was, the whole thing was to bring him back into the fold. So
let me try to make a clarifying statement.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is about the heart motive. It doesn't mean that there isn't judgment. It just means that the heart behind the judgment is right.
We're to look at people's fruit, yes, but the judging part, the judging is God's. So we need to understand that we're walking in love. Yeah, there are certain people that we don't line up with because they're not lining up with God, but we also can pray for them and intercede for them and forgive them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing for that. Remember, you go and you talk to them first, and then you take two witnesses with you, and then mm-hmm. you call before the church, and if they refuse to repent and change from what they're doing, then you kick them out of the church. Like, there's a whole setup for that. So, once again, they've had opportunities.
What I was trying to say is you can forgive them, but still execute judgment on them, so to speak.
If that's
what God Well, you, that's what they did. It is a judgment of sorts.
Condemnation.
Right. Or shunning.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a magistrate would do. A magistrate could have a lot of compassion on you, and yet they still have to pronounce a judgment based on the evidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. We're gonna.
And that's what God did several times.
You got your sucker. See you later.
I got about 5 minutes to wrap this up. Okay. Let's just go to the next page. Okay. We need to learn how to be not so feeling oriented, because if we are dead men walking, I mean, God gave us feelings to use. But when we're led by them, and when my daughter, okay, case in point, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing now, but when Shoe Carnival went in Altoona, I said, jokingly, of course, but I haven't ever been in there, I said, I will never shop in that store, because my loyalty was that our lease for the furniture store that I loved working in was, we got kicked out and had to find another place. They'd been there for 30 years because that store wanted to move in and expand. And so I was like, I'm not ever going to shop there. And so my daughter tonight on the way over here, she goes, well, I stopped at Big Lots and Dick's and Shoe Carnival. I said, you went to Shoe Carnival? I was just teasing, you know. And she goes, Mom, I can't believe you're still holding on to that. And I said, I'm not. I said, however, I really haven't ever, I don't go shoe shopping in Altoona, so I just never have gone in there. I'm not holding it against them. I mean, that was the Plaza's, you know, say so, who moves in and who moves out. And it wasn't a very nice thing for them to do to someone that had been renting for 30 years, but that thing has changed hands so many times. It wasn't anything personal. It was a business thing. Mm-hmm. And so, but don't we do stuff like that, like, you know, I'm never going to do this or that because they did this or that. And we judge things on our own, by our own opinion. And then we don't necessarily be kind. In Luke 6, in verse 35 through 37, and I'm not going to go there right now, but it's telling us to be kind, merciful, and judge not, condemn not, and forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And bottom line is that we want to be forgiven. We're to live the lifestyle of a forgiving person, looking and making sure there's nothing we're holding. That's why communion, when you take communion, we're to search our heart and see if there's something there that we need to take care of before the Lord, before we take the communion of the Lamb. So, I mean, there's a reason he does that. He doesn't want anybody walking around getting sick or dying because they haven't judged themselves mm-hmm. in their heart. So, if we don't forgive, we're not walking in righteousness, and we don't want to be that person.